Thank you all for coming here today. I have no idea how you feel about this, which is interesting. You know, we've been doing this for a year or so now. And I've sat in a lot of these, not a lot. I mean, this is, you know, it's not something I do every day, but we've been in a lot of meetings like this with people from the press, and everybody asks questions, and it's cool. And then sometimes we go out later and we read all kinds of stuff that has no resemblance to what was spoken about, and you know, some people call us product snake oil and other things like that. But we persisted through all of these negative MP3 based reviews of music as it was meant to be heard, or even saying as it's meant to be heard is a little over the top. It's just music. It's music like they made it. You know, it's music like was made in that room in there. When they made in that, you can bet that they were not mixing to an MP3 playback in there. That would have been a real weird thing to see. So, you know, the whole mission of this is a labor of love, and we've been banging against a lot of walls with this. But we're persisting because we have something that is going to endure, and music deserves to be preserved at its highest quality level. It deserves to be archived, not just in museums, but it deserves to be archived in people's playback systems so they can listen to it at home at the highest resolution that is possible. And resolution does not make you an audiophile or anything like that. It makes you someone who is living in the digital age and wants to hear the best. And there's nothing about music loving that says that you have to listen to low resolution or high resolution. It doesn't matter, except if you want to really feel it. So my feeling is, as a creator of music and a mixer of music and a record maker and a lover of the art of recorded sound, that the people should get the best that they can get. It's possible. Back in the days of vinyl, we had that. You'd make a record and people would hear what you made, the best it could be heard. Everybody heard the same thing. Nobody had a dummied down version of it that only had 5% of the content or less of the master, which is what an MP3 is. That's pretty hard to swallow when people are filling up their iTunes or whatever it is with these little tiny files of a representation. It's like a Xerox of what happened, but you can recognize it. Just like you can recognize a Xerox of the Mona Lisa, it doesn't mean that you have the Mona Lisa. But with music, it's easy. You know, especially today, we have much more memory than we ever had before in the players. It's cheap. Memory doesn't cost anything anymore, so it's not even an issue. Therefore, the compression schemes that compressed music down and exploded it back up, and they may call it lossless, but that's a name like... natural food is a name. There's a lot of names for things that really aren't what they are today. So the pure sound is what we try to give people. And I really believe that this is important. And that's why we're continuing to do it. And it's an uphill battle in this world. We're the only company in the world that has a high-res music ecosystem. And we're a small company. There's really... under 10 of us. Most of the time the working force is about 7, and the directing force is about 3. And we're a very small company compared to Apple, and they're the only other company with an ecosystem, and it's not a high-res ecosystem, and it's going the other way, so it doesn't seem to be getting better. So it's been a real rewarding thing to be able to do this and actually dream it up and then build it and then have everybody that matters in the audio world that has an opinion that matters, like Stereophile Magazine and the Rocky Mountain Audio Institute Awards, giving us awards for what we've done. That's very gratifying and it's nice. But it doesn't really mean that we're going to succeed. What that means is that we got an award, you know, and, you know, just like other people get awards, sometimes the awards are misleading. But this award is for quality, and that's what we stand for, and that's what we're trying to deliver to all of you, and Whether you can hear it or not doesn't really matter. If you can feel it, that's what matters. You don't have to, it's not a test. It's not a test of, can I tell the difference between an MP3 and a high-res file? It's not a test. Music isn't a test. As soon as you start listening to the music. But if you want to feel it and you want to listen to it over and over again and play it loud and have it not hurt you and always want to hear it again so that you can hear more of what is in it, that's what music is about. It replenishes you and it makes you feel good inside when you hear it. You don't get that from these diluted, compressed files. It just doesn't exist. It's not in there. However, it looks like and smells like and feels like music. It just doesn't feel like really good music. It's kind of like fast music as compared to slow music. And that's you know, I could talk for hours and years about this because it's a mission. So if you have any questions, please go ahead, shoot.
On that journey from Ontario to California, the original one, I assume you were playing cassettes in that. Was it a hearse that you were driving? What'd you take?
We probably didn't play any music in there. Probably no music at all. Maybe just a radio. If it had a radio, hearses with radios are probably not that common.
Yeah, that's very true. I was just thinking that it was a mindset that we were thrilled that we could have music in cars.
It was
fantastic. The audio didn't come into it. It was just, and then when Sony came along with, you know, their Walkman, and all of a sudden it got portable and you could take it anywhere. And I'd like to think that most of the people out there would like to follow you down this road, but there's a whole hunk of them out there that just give me the music. Just give me the music. I don't care how I get it. Just like give me the music. So you got to turn some thinking around there as well.
Well, you know, if we want to be the biggest company in the world, we have to do that. But we're really interested in serving the quality product. And if the music lover wants this product, then they can have it. And we're making it available. Freedom of choice. You can't have freedom of choice without two things to choose between. Formerly, there was nothing else other than vinyl or whatever. If you want to hear something well, there are places to go, but you got to really hunt for them. And this gives an equal playing field. You have freedom of choice in the digital world with a portable device. And in the future, hopefully, you won't even need the device to hear it. So that's where we're headed. I hope that answered your question. I'm really not very good. My mind doesn't really work in a Q&A kind of direct way, so I hope I did something right anyway. I hope I got some kind of an answer out there.
How key was the device in being part of this, though? I mean, to get this concept across, because other people have tried high-quality downloads and things of that nature, but the player seems to be key to this whole experience.
The player, without the player, you can't hear it. So I knew that from the beginning. There was no sense in making high-quality digital music available if no one had anything to play it on. So ultimately, our next product will be not something that's added to the package of devices that we all carry around with ourselves now, the earphones and the phone and, you know, whatever. Now we're kind of like a third leg, you know. You've got to have this Pono player with you if you want to hear it. And we made this so that people could hear it. That was the first reason that we built the player, so people could hear it. And we built a great player with really good people to make it sound as good as, and not just Pono music, but any music. It'll make an MP3 sound better than it does through an iPhone or anything else. It'll make any piece of music sound better than it does on anything else. And that's why we run these awards. And we set out to do that, and we did it, because without that, we can't convince people that it's worth it. They can't. If they can't hear it, why do they want it? We don't care if we are a gigantic, fast-moving, super success in the world of commerce and technology. That is not the interest that I have. The interest is providing people with a choice that if they want to have the best, they can have the best. They can have everything that the artist is capable of giving them. Today, aside from Pono, there really is nothing. So there's some players out there that cost a lot more than ours, but they aren't the number one player according to Stereophile, and they're not the number one awarded player according to all of the audio industry publications. We are. We didn't try to make a lot of money on the player. Our player has got components in it that $12,000 systems don't have. And because we are working with a genius, Charlie Hansen at Air Acoustics is a genius of sound. And we searched him out and we found him. And it's very simple what we do. We just do everything the best that you can from the beginning to the end of the product, all the way through it. There's no magic. We don't believe it. There is no IP that has ever been made for music. No IP that has ever improved music. All of it is gizmos, things that make it do this, make it do that, things in your cars that make the guy in the back seat hear the music at the same time as the guy in the front seat if the car is going really fast, stuff like that. We got a lot of things like that. We got 18 speakers in a car with like 9 sets of amplifiers when every set of amplifiers degrades the sound. Every set it goes through degrades it. Less is more with music. You know, we come from another school. We come from the pure sound, getting to the people school. Not marketing how many devices you have, how many speakers you have, selling the car companies on the idea that having a lot of speakers makes your car better. That's just a joke. And we know this, because I've been doing this for 50 years. All the people who do this agree. All the people who understand what music is and what simplicity of technology is, you know, all agree with this. Technology is supposed to make life better for us. It's supposed to improve every aspect of life. But we've been blessed with an opportunity here to make music one of the most, it's just one of the greatest art forms ever. It's been with the human race since the beginning of time. We have an opportunity to rescue it. It is, while pictures moved forward and television got better and clearer and film got better and clearer, and everything happened and got better and clearer. At the same time as that happened, there's only so much data available. So the audio sector of the technologies and the media was robbed to give the video something that everybody can see and go, yeah, wow, this is great. And you look at it and it is great, but what you're listening to is getting more and more degraded. If you listen, if you check out the specs on all the new digital systems. Now they've sacrificed audio again to get more pixels and to get more more technology into the picture. So it's an opportunity. It's a great opportunity for sound to improve. And there's a lot of room for improvement. So what we've done is just gone to the highest end that we could get to and made it possible for people to make that choice. That's our goal. So in a lot of ways, we've achieved our goal. But we really haven't, because now we have this device that people realize it sounds great and you can listen to great sounding music and hear it. But that's not enough. Now we have to make it more comfortable. We have to make it easier to use. We have to replace something that's in your pocket right now with something else so that you don't have to carry more devices. You just carry more quality. They're all the same. Everything's the same. All audio. Huh? In dash? Yeah, I'm working on getting it to happen.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
What are some of the most emotionally complex or layered albums that you hope that the Pono allows people to rediscover? Or what's the most rewarding experience?
Your favorite music.
What's your favorite music?
Oh, my favorite music is, you know, like Jimmy Reed and J.J. Cale, you know, and Jimi Hendrix. Blues. I love music. I love that kind of music. Great jazz, classical music. I love it all. Everything like that. That's what I like to listen to. I was listening to some classical music yesterday in my car, and it sounds great to me. I love to listen to the blues and everything. But what is in your mind is what matters, not what's in my mind. What do you want to hear? Well, and wouldn't it be great to really hear it?
Well, that's what I'm really curious about, is whether there's music that's been made in the last sort of 10 years. I mean, some, yes, but whether this really ultimately rewards listening to older records that had a lot more intricacy, a lot more layering, and perhaps are a bit less flat.
You're describing what happened to music. You know, when you give somebody a way to get through, to get out of, say, if you're in jail and you need a tunnel, okay, if you have, at first there's this huge tunnel, people could come in and out all the time, as slowly over time, the tunnel got compressed, so only small people could get in and out of the tunnel, and the smaller you know, so the music has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller as the hole that it comes through towards you has been compressed and compressed so that other things, convenience and pictures and everything could get better. So what happened is artists and producers and record companies, particularly record companies, decided to dummy down the quality of the music that the people get. They made deals that were based on very low quality music. And what they did is they ruined their whole industry because people are not crazy. Now people don't care what they get it on because it doesn't hurt, it doesn't get to them. If it gets to you and then somebody takes it away, you go, hey, what happened? But if you have nothing and somebody takes it away, you go, that's okay, I can get it from somebody else, it's probably free. Because nothing is not very costly. You know, that's where we're at. Yes.
Thank you.
That you have to make it more comfortable, you have to make it easier to use, you want people to have one device that they're carrying around in their
yes.
pocket. What are you alluding to? What are you trying to do?
I'm alluding to Pono 2, which is going to be, you know, something that we're building right now.
And what will Pono 2 be able to do?
It'll just replace one of the things that you already have.
Like a phone?
I don't think I want to build a phone.
Too many parts. Can I ask what sales have been like?
What sales have been like?
Yeah.
They're growing slowly. It's a slow-growing business. We have no marketing money. We have no investors to speak of. We have some great people who've helped us get as far as we have. We raised $8 million or $6.5 million on Kickstarter, but we kept our low price because we kept a low price on our devices. So it's a consumer product for people. It's not an audiophile product. We're not going to charge. Some of our competition charges five times as much as we do, and yet we get better reviews. There's a reason, as we want the people to be able to buy it. We want people to be an accessible technology to improve your experience. And so that's what we've done. We haven't made a lot of money. We haven't got a big. We haven't got any IP, and intellectual property in our sound, because that always degrades the sound. So our mission is to be disruptive by not having anything between you and what you want to listen to. We just want you to get right in there close and feel it.
Approximately how many of these players are out there?
About 20,000, 22,000, something like that. Yes.
Hi there. So from what I understand, you guys have a database, the Pono Music World database, where you can go and download FLAC files and all this high-res audio. How did you go about obtaining all of that? And what is the price range if someone wanted to go and buy an album or a song? How does that whole system kind of work?
Well, it took a long time for us to get all this music. We worked on this accruing the Pono library for about 2 years. 2 years of visiting with record companies, independent labels, record company leaders, chairman of the board, CEO, going to their offices, talking to them. But when we went in the door, we were music people. The door was open because music people understand other music people. The problem with the music industry that has happened today is music people trusted the tech industry. The tech industry was looking for content. Music people thought they wanted to share music. So there was a difference in the mindset of those two things. So what happened is now the music industry doesn't really trust the tech industry. So to get in the door to get music now for a tech player, you can't just walk in and say, I'm from, you know, jazzyjazzy.com, and we want to do this and that with your music, and we got all kinds of ways to make it smaller. You know, they've learned this, but they're a bitter about it. There's a bitter pill there with taking that and trying to get into the phone and get into all the convenience and everything. But they've learned. The record companies have learned that. I'm not saying that that everybody's going to think Pono's the greatest thing in the world. I am saying that Pono gives you a choice now between what you used to have and what is now possible.